This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. In this hour, we're really going to be looking at the impact of not just the declaration of a state of emergency, but the gazetting of the emergency ordinance, because the emergency ordinance 2021 has been gazetted and is now in force. It's backdated, in fact, to begin from January 11th. And just for some context, an emergency ordinance is a special law that can be passed by the Agong during an emergency without going through Parliament. And based on what we're seeing on social media, in WhatsApp group chats, just in general, there are a lot of questions about how this actually affects the rakyat.
Yeah, so some of the headlines that have been coming up in the media, and which, you know, rightfully, I think, gives rise to a lot of questions. For one is that the ordinance allows the Agong to take temporary possession of any private property or resources. And there is a penalty of 5 million in fine or jail up to 10 years for anyone who fails to comply.
The temporary possession is in relation to benefiting, or
yes,
if it is
right,
seen to be fit to assist in the battle against COVID-19. So it is not, you know, entirely just kind of free of context. It is to do with exactly what we're facing with the pandemic.
That's right. And the other thing that, and I've actually seen this floating around on WhatsApp chat groups as well, the fact that the armed forces are being given the same authority as the police, which allows them to also arrest those who violate the MCO.
No legal action can be taken against the government throughout the emergency for acts that are deemed to have been done in good faith. And of course, Parliament will not convene. We'll be looking at that in more detail later on in the show, because that's actually something that a variety of people have been contesting. And in this half of the hour, we're going to be speaking with a lawyer who will help us break down what this means for the rakyat. And I just think that there are a lot of questions and a lot of anxieties have come up, because right at the beginning, when we first heard that the government could now compel in some ways or use the resources of private organizations to deal with COVID-19, I think even here on the station, some of the questions we were getting included, well, can we say no? You know, to what extent, and how is this all going to work? And so the emergency ordinance does lay this out in some detail, but I think until we see this in action, it's still going to be a little bit difficult to imagine, because I hate this. I'm going to say this word for the first time this year. So many things have been unprecedented. and so I think because of that, it's very difficult to anticipate what exactly this will mean when translated into, well, you know, where I work, where I live, how I run my life.
No, and I think similarly speaking, this question of the army coming into law enforcement is something that a lot of people have questions about, right? Because I've been seeing such wild things flying around on chat groups you should be careful. They can, you know, arrest you with, very little reason. Of course, none of these come with much basis to them. But I think they speak to the fact that, again, it is something that we're not used to. Many of us in our lifetimes have not had to go through an emergency. And even if the ones who lived through previous ones, I think this is a very different situation because of the COVID factor. So questions, I think, are aplenty.
Send us your questions. We want to help as far as possible break down and understand what the emergency ordinance covers and how it will impact you. So if you have questions, if you've been seeing things and you just want to clarify and check, is this true? Is this accurate? Now's a good time. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll have on the line Zaid Malik, coordinator at Lawyers for Liberty. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:13. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila, and we are taking a closer look today at the Emergency Ordinance 2021, which was gazetted and backdated to begin from January 11th. And we want to know how this will actually impact the day-to-day lives of Malaysians as a whole, because I think there are a lot of questions, there are a lot of concerns floating around about how exactly this will how exactly this will take effect. So if you have questions, if you have anything at all that you want to know, call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now crossing over to Zaid Malik, coordinator at Lawyers for Liberty. Zaid, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
Could you give us an overview of the Emergency Ordinance 2021 and perhaps specifically looking at how it will end up impacting the Malaysian public?
Well, okay, all right. So the Emergency Ordinance was gazetted and has taken effect as of 11th of January 2021. So as far as it affects the day-to-day life of ordinary Malaysians, from what I can glean from the provisions of the ordinance itself, I think what people are worried about regarding the acquisition of land, the request for usage of resources, and primarily, I would think, the delegation of powers of arrest to the military. So as far as these provisions are concerned, of course, the government is entitled to make such emergency ordinance as long as the emergency order or emergency proclamation is in effect, and there must be compliance by citizens to the provisions of this ordinance. But as to how it affects day-to-day life, that remains to be seen. As far as the preamble of the emergency ordinance is concerned, and looking at the provisions of this emergency ordinance, it does seem to be in line with the supposed purpose or goal of trying to assuage or control the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Now, I want to touch on one thing that several parties have brought up, which is freedom of speech. Will mm-hmm. freedom of speech potentially be impacted under the emergency?
Well, under the Emergency Ordinance 2021 that was gazetted a few days ago, there are no provisions in that particular ordinance that impinges on the right of freedom of speech under the Constitution. So I don't think this particular ordinance would have any sort of impact to freedom of speech, and any more than usual, because as I would like to remind everyone that the Sedition Act and the provisions under the Communications Multimedia Act that limits free speech is draconian and is still in effect either during or outside of the emergency. But as far as this emergency ordinance 21 is concerned, there doesn't seem to be any impact on freedom of speech. Mm.
So the government is also protected here from legal suits or prosecution while carrying out their duties for acts carried out in good faith. And I think that's an interesting phrase. Could you help us break down what that means?
Well, what this is actually an ouster clause where the government is trying to protect the public officials executing any functions under the ordinance from any sort of legal scrutiny or scrutiny from the courts. While it has been worded in a way, there are two things I want to touch upon. Firstly, in the provision itself, it does say that the acts, omissions or negligence cannot be, they are protected from any omissions, negligence or actions as long as it is done in good faith. So that in itself is sort of a limiting factor. So it is not an automatic defense that is available to any public officials if they commit any sort of wrongs. What it means is that if there is any suits or prosecution brought to these public officials who supposedly were executing any functions under this ordinance, they would have to justify or come up and justify the defense provided in this section by showing that they have acted in good faith. That notwithstanding, I've seen on social media where people are worried that this means that the right to legal representation or to legal recourse has been delegated. I would say that this could be construed as an attempt to do so, but I feel like the saving provisions in the ordinance itself sort of limits the impunity of the public officials. And furthermore, there are also established cases where the federal court has stated that ouster clauses are unconstitutional, and any sort of disputes or any wrongs can be referred to the court. I believe the case of Simon Jaya back in 2017, the court has ruled has made a ruling that the judicial functions of the court cannot be derogated, and no ouster clause can derogate any judicial powers of the court vested in the federal constitution.
Could I also just dive a little bit deeper, right? Legally, how is in good faith defined? Because I think when you hear it, logically, you kind of get it. But I would like to know from a legal perspective, how do we define that? Is it about intent? How do we accept that?
Well, as with many legal provisions, certain wordings are left up to the interpretations of the court, because it would be very difficult to include the meaning of certain terms in the provision itself. But as far as what good faith is concerned, as far as what good faith would mean, I would believe that it would be dependent on the functions and powers that these officers have done under the ordinance. Have they conducted themselves for the purpose of executing any of the functions stated under this ordinance? If they could not justify their actions based on provisions of the ordinance, then I don't think they could reliably use the defense of good faith, which would mean that they will be subject to either prosecution or any suits brought by any person aggrieved.
Zaid, you mentioned earlier as well how one of the things that has got people talking is the fact that the government may demand, quote-unquote, any resources to be utilized for any purposes that are deemed necessary based on the needs during this pandemic. What would this cover, and would private organizations or private citizens be able to refuse?
Well, what this would cover, that this would we would have to look at the wordings of the provision. Of course, it's a little bit vague, but on purpose. But of course, we would of course revert back to the preamble of the emergency ordinance itself. It says that any powers under the ordinance is for the purpose of allaying the pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic. So any sort of powers exercised under Section 3, Section 4 of the ordinance to acquire land or to use any sort of resources must be for that purpose. And of course, another thing speaking, as you rightly mentioned, is the worry that if any acquisition takes place, that the compensation given to such acquisition may be skewed in favor of the authorities or the government, and the landowner or organizations will not get adequate compensation. We believe that such a power would be contrary to the wordings or rights under the Constitution. I believe in Article 13, it does say that that everyone has the right to land, and an acquisition any acquisition must be done by in accordance with law. And I think looking at Article 13, Clause 2 here, it mandates that the use of property or acquisition must be given adequate compensation. So I don't think the ordinance itself could derogate these particular rights under Article 13. Because under Article 13 falls under Part 2 of the Federal Constitution, which I believe, based on the case of Sivarasa Rashid and Semih Jaya, is part of the basic doctrine of the Federal Constitution. What I want to clear up is that the emergency ordinance, or even the emergency proclamation itself, does not suspend the operation of the Constitution, or does not take the place or supersede the Constitution. In fact, the emergency is a creature of the Constitution, so they are still bound by any of the established laws that we have, the decisions of the court in regards to the interpretation of the Constitution. So as far as adequate compensation, I believe that citizens' organizations are protected under Article 13. They must be given adequate compensation. And I think since Article 13 is under Part 2 of the Federal Constitution and forms the basic structure of the Federal Constitution, the ordinance cannot derogate that right.
I also wanted to touch on something you brought up earlier on, and something that is of a concern, right, which is the armed forces being given similar powers to the police throughout this emergency. And I guess one of the key concerns here is that it empowers them to make arrests, for instance. What do you make of this?
Well, see, we released a statement earlier today, and I think this is the provision that I think will affect the daily goings of ordinary citizens, right? Because armed forces now have the same powers as a police officer, which, of course, I think, like to just use it to the powers of arrest. They can now arrest MCO violators. This is what I think Senior Minister Ismail Sabri has stated yesterday, right? So the concern here is that the armed forces, are not trained for civilian arrest. And I don't think they know the intricacies, the intricacies of how the procedures that should be complied with regards to arrest, the manners of which they must respect the rights, even if they are offenders, as offenders have rights under the Constitution, and it will lead to possible abuse of power or excessive use of force by the armed forces, because they're not trained for civilian arrest. What they're trained for is to fight foreign entities or combatants. So I think this provision giving powers to the armed forces to arrest people is highly concerning and does not really fall in line with the purpose of the Act, purpose of the Emergency Ordinance, or the purpose of the Emergency Proclamation with regards to trying to control the COVID-19 pandemic. Look, if you recall, there have been concerning happenstance where supposed authorities and even military personnel have been accused of abusing their powers towards MCO violators. I believe there was a viral video back in December which very clearly showed that military personnel was abusing his power against an MCO by quarantine person who breached a quarantine order. So it just, of course, I'm not casting a wide net saying that this could definitely happen, but it is a possibility. And the chance or possibility of violation of rights of citizens is something that rightfully causes concern.
So on that note of it being a possibility, are there measures in place legally in order to prevent or to counter this?
Well, let's see. The emergency ordinance itself does not provide any sort of mechanism, right, as to the balance or the check and balance as to how the armed forces would execute the actions, or if there is any a grievance happening, what are the complaint mechanism or complaint channels that anyone could go to with regards to the actions of the armed forces. I believe that if anyone has been if an armed forces takes any action against civilians, it could give rise to a constitutional challenge to this particular provision under the Emergency Ordinance, because under Article 120(2)(b) of the Federal Constitution, it clearly states that the creation of an emergency ordinance must be due to a existing circumstance that necessitates its creation. I don't think the government has justified or given any justifiable reason as to why the armed forces now can have the powers of a police officer and arrest people. So I believe that this particular provision is in violation of Article 150 and the Federal Constitution as in totality. So any person aggrieved by any members of the armed forces or even arrested by a member of the armed forces could possibly make any sort of constitutional challenge to this provision.
We also have a question from a listener who wants to know whether this emergency state means that the authorities or officers, and I quote here, would be accountable but not liable for their actions. The listener goes on to say, I remember first hearing this phrase being used by a former minister in the 90s when he was called to answer to his responsibilities as a leader.
Well, it depends. Okay, accountable but not liable. Like I mentioned earlier, right, the after clause in the emergency ordinance with regards to the actions of any public authorities, they firstly must comply with the provision of the ordinance itself, and it must any actions conducted supposedly for under this ordinance must be done in good faith, and is only that is and that defense is not automatic. They have to justify that they have done so in good faith. Second of all, the other thing is that if there is any redress, any person agrees that needs redress, the court is an available avenue in spite of whatever the provision mentioned, because of established by the court cases that has declared any ouster clauses or clauses that tries to circumvent judicial power to be unconstitutional. So, in terms of, I do believe that if any person has been harmed or grieved, the court is available avenue, and they can institute a suit and also make any reports for any sort of criminal prosecution towards that public officer.
Zayed, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening and helping to clear some of this up.
Yeah, no problem.
That was Zayed Malik, coordinator at Lawyers for Liberty, speaking to us about the emergency ordinance that has been gazetted, that is now, in fact, in action. If you have questions on this, send them our way. After this, we're going to be looking at what this means for whether Parliament can sit, you know. Is Parliament currently suspended? Is it not able to be in session? Some of those questions we'll be getting to after this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.